Good morning, everyone. It is October 15th, 2021. It is Friday the 15th. We're heading in here in the ADK homeroom to a great ADK Adirondacks weekend. We have a couple of fall festivals going on up here. We have donuts tied to a string. The kids in the ghost costumes are going to be trying to chew off. What kind of donuts? You know what kind of donuts. Apple cider donuts. If you ever have a donut on a string at a Halloween festival and it is not an apple cider donut, I don't think that I can forgive you. Maybe if it's one of those Entenmann's chocolate frosted donuts, they call it frosting, but I don't know what that chocolate is actually, but it's really good. You know the chocolate donuts I'm talking about. Those I could sort of understand. But if it's not those, you got to have apple cider donuts. We've got soccer coming up this weekend. We've got all kinds of wonderful things going on here as the leaves are pretty much down from the trees. The wind is turning cold. We've got some rain, but it's still going to be absolutely splendid. Wonderful place to live. I hope your weekend is lining up to be just as awesome. Well, what do we have this week? We have once more this week, pop culture not failing to make us laugh, or at least shake our heads and say, WTF. Let's get right into it. Top 10 dumbest pop culture moments of the week. Number one, Demi Lovato. Oh, good old Demi Lovato. Remember her, pop singer? The one who recorded the pop version of Let It Go from Frozen, which was released on the radio. And everyone said, no, we're going to go with the Idina Menzel version from the movie because it's awesome. And Miss Lovato's version is way too bland. It's not really Miss Lovato's fault there. She went up against one of the all-time vocals from Menzel. And I'm sure her agent, people just gave her that. Looked like a great opportunity. Can't really blame her for that. But we can blame, by the way, I shouldn't be saying her. I believe they prefer the pronoun they and them. So I will attempt to use those correct pronouns here. So this one is their fault, Demi's fault. You know what Demi said this week? Demi said this week that we should not call creatures from outer space aliens because aliens is an offensive term. Wow, that is special. My first thought on hearing this is, you know, does Demi have something I don't know about? Is there some secret she knows that I don't know? She have an E.T. hiding in her closet? She pulling a Drew Barrymore there with E.T. dressed up as her stuffed animals in the closet, sneaking the Reese's Pieces or something? She have one of those Quato heads poking out? I don't know. Who is telling you this, Demi? How do you have this knowledge? That is some serious first contact stuff, knowing that aliens will be offended by calling them aliens. Come on. I mean, I'm alien to a lot of things, right? I go to North Sentinel Island. I'm an alien. I'm not offended by that. I'm definitely an alien there. I acknowledge that. I'm probably dead from one of those like Norway caliber bow and arrows they have out there on North Sentinel Island. But I'm not offended. I might be dead, but I'm not offended that I'm alien to such a culture. I mean, I'm probably glad I'm alien to a culture like that. Maybe the aliens out in space are glad to be alien to our culture, right? I've been describing myself as alienated since I read, you know, The Stranger, Camus the Stranger, in, I think, 10th grade. We're all aliens somewhere. We really are. Everywhere, somewhere, you're an alien. Can this term even be offensive if you don't even know that the person supposedly offended exists or the entity supposedly offended exists? We are not sure aliens do, unless Demi is hiding something from me here, unless Demi's got some secret knowledge that she's not telling us about, then I don't know. Maybe somebody should listen to play Demi's latest single backwards. See if it goes, you know, do 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 do. See if we've got something, three close encounters of the third kind type of thing. And I don't know. It reminds me of Derek Parfit, right? In Reasons of Persons, ascribing moral weight to the lives of people who have never been born. Okay, yeah. So actually, Demi Lovato just made me think of Derek Parfit. So that is way too much, and I am outie on this topic. Oh, I will say one more thing, actually, though. Do, 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 do. That tune, you know, from Close Encounters of the Third Kind, that's used at least some national labs, like the National Superconducting Cyclotron. I don't know if it still is, but when I worked there a while ago, that was used as the warning sound. So props to those people who picked that up. Okay, let's move on to number two, the second dumbest thing in pop culture this week. All right, the second dumbest thing is the numbers on Brazilian butt lifts. The American Society of Plastic Surgeons puts the death risk of a Brazilian butt lift. Do you want to guess? Take a guess. One in how many? This is the mortality risk from the American Society of Plastic Surgeons for butt lift. Butt lift, apparently they add in the fat into your butt. I guess that lifts it up. I think as humans age, right, the fat deposits sort of spread out, become drivelier, runnier, instead of all chunky and bunched up. And so in a butt lift, they put it back in. So what do you got here? One in, I will tell you, mortality risk of death from a Brazilian butt lift, American Society of Plastic Surgeons, one in 3,000. That is crazy high. One in 3,000. You're taking a one in 3,000 risk of dying just to get a butt lift? Come on, man. How important is your butt? Are you George Michael in the Faith video, as Dana Carvey used to do on Saturday Night Live? No, my butt is a perfect circle. Is that you? Maybe if your butt is a perfect circle, right? Like maybe if Archimedes is resurrecting himself out of the sand in Syracuse and coming to measure your butt and calculate pi with your butt, then maybe I could see it's worth a 1 in 3,000 risk. Honestly, not even that. But maybe then. I don't know. Come on, a 1 in 3,000 chance. And to put that in a little context, right, how about liposuction? Liposuction, not even super safe itself, 1 in 50,000. 1 in 50,000, roughly. It's hard to find agreement out there. I saw some estimates all over, so I'm trying to pick the middle of the mark there. 1 in 50,000 for liposuction. Even that is too high for me, right? But 1 in 3,000. One in 3,000, that's like Hunger Games' chance of being selected as a tribute, right? You are out there in your best clothes sweating it out if your odds are 1 in 3,000. District 12 did not have, you know, fewer than 3,000 people in it. There's no way it could have survived as a district and supplied coal to everybody, right? So anyway, 1 in 3,000. Oh my goodness. No, that's terrible. Can't do it. Okay, let's go on. Number three, dumbest pop culture moment of the week. This one is really dumb. It's not quite as silly or funny, though. This one's kind of serious. Number three, dumbest pop culture moment of the week is these people who are saying that billionaires shouldn't be exploring space. Well, what the hell else should they do? Okay, what is wrong with going to space? It's brave. It's brave. It's exploratory. You're advancing engineering. It's stunning. It's fun. It is fun. If you are not having fun seeing William Shatner go up into space and then come back down and cry about it, then you're just fooling yourself. Be honest. Open yourself up and let yourself enjoy life. Are you Cameron from Ferris Bueller before the car goes through the window? Have you not learned how to enjoy life? Come on, wake up. These are great things happening out there. On the serious side, you have to wonder if this is a little bit of the dark side. Now, there's plenty of bright side, too. Plenty, plenty, plenty of bright side. But this might be a little bit of the dark side. The pendulum swinging a little bit too far and toward the feminization of culture, right? And this is the dark side, would be the part where you don't just say both masculine culture and feminine culture are great, we should celebrate both. The dark side is when you say we're feminist culture and we're not acknowledging the greatness of the masculine culture, right? This is a very masculine thing to do. It's not a coincidence that these billionaires are doing this. The three guys are all guys, right? Mackenzie Bezos has enough money now to be doing this herself too, but no, she isn't. And so what's going on here? Well, you're seeing people being brave. They could have died, right? They could have died up there. That's why they didn't do the joke. It would have been perfect. You know, they put Shatner up there at 9 a.m., right? That was an in-joke. Shatner launched at 9 a.m. because of his famous, it was delayed an hour, but it was going to be 9 a.m., because of his famous, amazing performance of Rocket Man, right? At a 1978 Science Fiction Awards show, he does that Rocket Man. And right at the start, you know, 0 hour, 9 a.m., while he's sucking on a cigarette, putting all that smoke out there. That is a classic performance. I think I tweeted about this yesterday. We got people out there saying that Kandinsky is better art than Shatner performing Rocket Man. And if you think that, then why don't you message me? Because I would love to hear how you can think that Circles and Squares can be better art than Shatner's admittedly hilarious performance of Rocket Man. Yeah, so, you know, people are complaining about these billionaires going into space, but there's arguably no better way for billionaires to spend their money. What do you want them to do? Give it to the government? You think the government is going to build three different rocket programs that can get people into space? They can't even build one rocket program that can get people into space. Right? The government, that is one of the worst ideas. The government is just going to waste at least half of that money. And you know, what else do you want the billionaires to do? Free vaccines? Really? Well, how did that work out for Bill Gates, right? Spend his money on free vaccines and for the entire freaking world, by the way. And how does he get paid back? Half the people think he's a monster trying to put a robot control chip in their arm. And the other half think that he's evil for not letting their tribe spend the money. So more power to Branson and Bezos and Musk. Absolutely fantastic job that they're doing. And these people writing these op-eds out there whining, these are just some cowardly negative Nancys who are going to find who are going to suck the joy or try to suck the joy out of every single advancement that humans ever make. Doesn't matter what it is. Like I said the other day, fusion power comes around, people are going to attack it. You could have somebody come down right now and say, oh, here is a magic pill, and it is going to make you super smart, super athletic. You'll never get overweight, even if you eat Hostess Ding Dongs 24/7 constantly. And, you know, you'll end up looking like some combination of Brad Pitt and Jodie Comer. And this pill is going to make everybody rich, and it's going to be, you know, the most amazing thing. And somebody will come out and say, well, but there's a 1 in 10 million chance that you might cough when you swallow it and develop some irritation in your throat. Ooh, better not. Right? And we better have a law protecting people from taking this pill. There are people who are going to attack anything. Crazy to attack advancement like this. Absolutely crazy. All right, let's go to number four. Number four, you have the Nike Jordan brand CEO, whose name is Larry Miller. Larry Miller, I guess he's the chairman of the Jordan brand at Nike. He came out just yesterday, I think, and said, hey, guess what? 50 years ago, I was 16 years old and I killed a guy. An innocent kid standing on the streets of Chicago. I was drunk. I was angry about some gang violence I was involved with. I shot off a random shot and it killed this boy. I mean, obviously that's dumb, right? That's just, but it's beyond dumb. It's evil. So I don't even want to give it, I don't want to cheapen it. This is terrible, right? This is absolutely terrible. So beyond dumb. But what is dumb, what fits within the context of this particular podcast is his comment, Larry Miller's comment that said that by coming out and talking about it, he said that he hopes that by talking about this, he can help remove the stigma that holds people and communities back. Okay, so I don't want to get into the murder thing here because that's just beyond the scope of, you know, a podcast about the dumbest pop culture of the week. But then you come and you say that by talking about murder, you're going to help remove the stigma. You know, I kind of think murder should be stigmatized. I'm sorry, but, you know, you're out there and you're 16. That is pretty close to a grown-ass man, okay? And you're hoping the stigma will go away? I'm in favor of forgiveness, but we're talking about murder, and we're talking about 16 years old, and that is not a little kid. Maybe you shouldn't know everything when you're 16 years old, but you should know not to kill a man. So, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm picturing Nike's advertising guy, the chairman of their advertising campaign, the guy in charge of Just Do It. And he's issuing a statement. I didn't mean just do that. You know, it's just, it's terrible. It's terrible. And to come out and say you want to remove the stigma, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. Okay, let's go on to number five here. Number five, dumbest pop culture moment of the week. Still Dave Chappelle, right? You've got Sarandos at Netflix amazingly still supporting the comedian against these charges of transphobia, because Chappelle had the gall, the temerity, the audacity to point out that sex is real. And that if you are born with XY chromosomes and then you want to live as a woman, that is a different thing than being born with XX chromosomes. It's obvious that it's different, but these days, if you say that it's different, if you say that sex is real, if you say that there are consequences because of this difference, then you are bad, evil, wrong, right? It's Halloween time. You got these dolphins out there putting in fake vampire fangs for Halloween. That does not make them a shark. And no hate. If dolphins want to be out there putting in fake vampire fangs, more power to them. That's great. No worries. Absolutely fantastic. You do you. People can be whatever they want. But that doesn't mean that there's no difference between people doing one thing and people doing another thing. There is obviously a difference there. So that story, that's been making the news for 2 weeks now. And do we think that Sarandos will keep supporting Chappelle, or will he cave? He's going to hold out a little bit longer. I predict that if this story is still dominating the headlines in, let's say, a couple months, then someone at Netflix will cave. It might not be Sarandos directly, but someone at Netflix will have to if the story has that many legs. We'll see. We'll see. Usually stories don't last that long, but this one has a lot of force behind it. Let's go to number six. Number six, dumbest pop culture moment of the week. John Gruden, coach of the Raiders. Former coach all over, like at the Bucks. He's been in the broadcasting booth. What an idiot. I'm sure you saw it. He had some racist comments in some old emails. Now, there is a real transgression. That's some real bad stuff there. Clearly a racist. I mean, who even says things like that? Who writes them down? I had an eighth grade teacher, right? We called him the Bald Eagle, Bob Motley. Rest in peace, Bob. The Bald Eagle told us in eighth grade, he said, kids, never write down anything you don't want the entire world to hear. So, you know, if you know that you're a racist, and Gruden must have known, right? You can't write stuff like that and not know how that, you know, what that is and how it sounds and how disgusting that is. If you're Gruden, what the heck? Why are you even writing that down? That is crazy. There are these movies out there, right? These James Bond villains where James Bond is strapped down to the table and the laser is about to cut him in half, but the villain stops the laser and the villain says, oh, I just have to take a minute here to gloat and tell you my plan for world domination and all the details of my evilness. Let me explain it to you. And then, you know, the good guy, James Bond, he finds some way to wriggle out, and because the bad guy paused, and if the bad guy hadn't paused and explained all his evilness, then the good guy wouldn't have escaped. That bad guy is Gruden, right? Because he's putting his entire evilness on paper. He's like, oh, here, let me write down. Let me document for you what my depths of my depravity are. Let me make a written record, and on the internet, no less, famous for never forgetting a thing. Let me do it on the internet. Wow. Wow. I do not know what Mr. Gruden was thinking, but he's paid the price. He has already retired, or resigned, I guess I should say, from his coaching spot at the Raiders now. Number seven on the dumbest pop culture events of the week. This one is from India. Not sure if you are following it, but the superstar Bollywood actor Shah Rukh Khan's son, his son Aryan Khan, is not a famous actor, but he's famous by virtue of being his father's son. And I think on October 2nd, somewhere right around October 2nd, he was arrested on a cruise ship for receiving a bulk quantity of illegal drugs. Okay, so drug laws are stupid. They ought to be abolished. People have a right to their own bodies and what to put in them. And maybe the son here is being dumb because he's on a cruise ship receiving, you know, drugs that he's going to then pass on or sell or something like that. But that's not the real dumb pop culture moment here. The real dumb pop culture moment came from Aryan Khan's defense attorney. So the trial is a sensation, right? Huge. We're not even in the trial yet. I shouldn't even say a trial yet. I guess they're just hearing. They're arguing over bail, right? And whether or not Aryan can be released. I don't think he has received bail yet. He's still in a human cage over there for drugs. But anyway, so listen, the defense attorney. The defense attorney's argument is that these charges are absurd because my client was not on that cruise ship. Right. So how did they arrest him on the cruise ship then? Exactly. Right? I'm not making this up. The quote from that defense attorney is all over the place. I'm not making it up. That is the quote. Maybe I'm missing something, but you know, I'm not over there hanging out with the Bollywood stars, so all I know is what I'm reading. But countless news articles are saying, you know, he was arrested on the cruise ship. And then you have the defense attorney come out and pull the Shaggy defense. It wasn't me. Caught me red-handed, saw me in the kitchen, you know, banging on the bathroom floor. You see me? Nope, wasn't me. I wasn't there. His defense, this is absurd. He wasn't even there. Oh, you arrested him on the cruise ship? No, he wasn't there. That wasn't him. Wow. I mean, that takes some real chutzpah to have that be your defense when you're arrested on the cruise ship and then your defense is he wasn't on the cruise ship. Wow. I mean, maybe it's like a Navalny type thing, right? Putin just fabricating charges against Navalny. Maybe that's what's happening here, and the Indian police are just fabricating, just completely making up the fact that he was on the ship. And they just said, we arrested him on the ship, but he really wasn't on the ship. But somebody here is being really dumb. And I guess if it's the government there, it's both dumb and tragic. So we try to have a little bit lighter tone. So let's move on to the number eight. The number eight dumbest pop culture moment of the week. This one, folks, this is so dumb. Normally I only do like five, six, seven, maybe eight dumbest pop culture moments of the week. And I know I put in the title of this video that this was the top 10 dumbest pop culture moments of the week. Well, the reason that it's a top 10 this week is because number eight right here is so dumb that it takes up 8, 9, and 10. That's right. It counts for three because this is so bad. Now, initially, you might not recognize how bad it is, how dumb this is. But let me explain. It's like my daughter, right? She says, "Dad, your jokes, why do they need explanations?" Well, you know, because my daughter's 11, right? So, but this one, you know, this is just boggling. Here we go. Number eight, dumbest pop culture moment of the week is the movie The Last Duel is a historical knight movie, K-N-I-G-H-T movie. It's a movie about a historical knight who is not William Marshall. All right, that's the biggest dumb thing about it. There's actually a second biggest dumb thing, and I'll explain about William Marshall in a second and why that's so dumb. The second biggest thing, let me cover that quickly, though, is that this movie is being advertised, the blurb up on Rotten Tomatoes or somewhere, is the frailty of justice and the strength and courage of one woman willing to stand alone in the service of truth. Sadly, they didn't capitalize truth right there. So look, I don't know what's in this movie, but in the actual history, Marguerite is not some strong speak truth to power type of woman, right? In real history, she was basically just property like other women back then. And that's bad. That's wrong. Should not be that way. But if this movie is going to try to make her out to be some sort of crusading, sorry for that poor, not even pun right there. But if this movie's trying to make her out to be, you know, Erin Brockovich of the 12th, 14th century. Yeah, 14th century. If it's trying to make her out to be that, she was not that. That was not that, right? Her husband risked her life by pressing his charges. He was the one who went out and he pressed these charges and he went forward with them. He put her life on the line. And she didn't have really much say in it at all. Now, behind the scenes, who knows? Who knows exactly what happened? Maybe she was crusading behind the scenes, but you know, she was silent on that last day. And this was about the two men. This was a movie about the two men. So that's going to be pretty silly if they try to make this into a crusading feminist movie. It was actually kind of opposite feminist movie where they just, you know, treated women as property and something for men to argue over. Poor. All right, but let's go to the real dumb part here. The real dumb part is that this is a historical knight movie, a movie about an actual knight who existed in history that is not about William Marshall. Are you kidding me? We have been waiting for the entire human history to have a movie about William Marshall, a good big triple A action flick about William Marshall. Now, you might be wondering, why is it so bad to not make a movie about William Marshall? What did William Marshall do? Who is he? What didn't he do? Okay? What didn't he do? Well, for one thing, he's everything. He's everything you want in a knight. He's Wesley. He's Robin Hood. He's a Knight Templar. He's Thomas Jefferson. He's everything. I will get to this in a second. I'm not making this up. All right, let's see. So first of all, William the Marshal, how did he start off with? Well, at age six, he was being held by King Stephen, hostage type situation. And King Stephen said, "Hey, give me the castle." And William's dad said, "You know what? You can have my son. Just take him." And so there was this famous statement about, I can use my hammer and anvil to make better sons than William. Kid's only 6 years old, right? And the standard practice now, a lot of people had said they should put little William into the catapult and fling him over the walls into the castle, right? And the standard practice, though, would have just been to hang the little six-year-old. These were brutal times, brutal times. So somehow, though, somehow, like Wesley convincing the Dread Pirate Roberts to spare his life and let him be the cabin boy, somehow at age six, little William, who would grow up to be William the Marshal, convinced Stephen, King Stephen, to make him a royal ward instead of hanging him, right? Not even just like let him go or anything like that, but to make him a royal ward. So right away, a little bit like Wesley, a little bit like Dread Pirate Roberts. And then William Marshall is sent to Normandy, made a knight only at age 20, lost his horse, needed funds, and nobody would give him the funds, right? Because he's a minor son of a minor noble. He's way down in Normandy, across the channel from England. Nobody will give him a horse. So what did he do? He sold his clothes, he bought a new horse, and he entered a knight's tournament. And the knights in these days, you know, they could make all kinds of money if they were good, but it was extremely risky. People died in these tournaments. Their death was very common in these tournaments. They were violent places. They were entertainment. And so he sold his clothes to buy a new horse so he could enter this tournament. Now, he wasn't naked under his plate armor, but he didn't have any fancy clothes left either. So it was all or nothing. He goes into this tournament. First tournament he's in, age 20, goes in, and what happens? He absolutely kills it, literally. He comes out of this tournament, he owns 4.5 horses. How can he own half a horse? I don't know, but that's what's recorded. He did, 4.5 horses coming out of that. Over a year, the next year, he captured 103 other knights. He was the greatest knight who ever lived. Famously, on his deathbed, he said he had beaten over 500 knights in his career. There is no loss recorded for him ever in his tournament career. Undefeated. 500 knights defeated. He's 500-0. That is crazy. That is better than Alabama, right? That is better than Tom Brady. I can't believe I just said that. I'm going to stop. I can't say that. But he is a legend, right? Stephen Langton, this is foreshadowing, Archbishop of Canterbury, Stephen Langton, said that he was the greatest knight who ever lived. And of course, you know, he brought himself from having to sell his clothes to buy himself a horse to this amazing position of wealth. One time in his fights, he fought so many of these fights and he built up such a mass, he eventually had an entourage of knights following him. Had his own blacksmith, and it was good. Because why? Because one time he was in a fight that was so brutal that his helmet was damaged and he couldn't even get it off his own head. And the blacksmith famously had to work on this helmet, very risky, melt it down while it was on William the Marshal's head to get it off of him. That is crazy. But he did it. And people are making movies out of other knights. No, this guy's a freaking legend, okay? You should be making a movie about him. I haven't even got to the best parts yet. So then he goes into real warfare, right, down in France. He gets captured in real warfare again, but Eleanor of Aquitaine rescues him, ransoms him, rather, makes him a tutor for her young son, Henry the Young King. That's what he was really called, Henry the Young King. And then Henry gives William the Marshal a secret mission to the Holy Lands. We still don't know what it is. It's been a mystery. It's been a mystery for hundreds of years, what exactly he did over there. But we know that after Henry gave William the secret mission, he went over there. He was there for a couple of years. He committed to the Knights Templar. He didn't officially join the Knights Templar until much later, but he committed to the Knights Templar. We don't even know what he is. Then he reappears and re-enters history 2 years later back in Western Europe. And there's no movie being made about this. This is crazy stuff. He's a Knight Templar. He's got a mystery mission from the king. He's over there. Oh my gosh. So he's Wesley. He's a Knight Templar. Then he comes back and he fights with King Henry against King Richard the Lionheart, right? And he beats Lionheart. But guess what? Literally, he fights Lionheart on the field of battle. William the Marshal versus Richard the Lionheart fighting on the battle. Marshall wins, beats the Lionheart, and then, again, famously, spares Richard Lionheart. he only kills his horse. Oof, horses are having it tough here. So he only kills his horse, spares Lionheart's life, demonstrating, this is again foreshadowing, the restraint that Marshall, you know, gained renown for. A couple years later, Richard Lionheart becomes king, doesn't forget William the Marshal. William Marshall spared his life, gives him beautiful bride, Isabel de Clare, super rich daughter of Earl of Pembroke. They have 10 kids together, so they are Squints and Wendy Pfeffercorn. And then when Richard is away on Richard Lionheart's crusade, what does William Marshall do? He's behind there. He fights Sir Guy. There are ambushes. There are fights in the forest. There are bows. He is Robin Hood. Okay? This is what Robin Hood did while Richard was away and defending the common person against Sir Guy and all these other people. This is Robin Hood. Come on, people. Right? He's Squints. He's Robin Hood. He's a Knight Templar. He's Wesley. All in the same person. I am not making this up. Go look it up. Go read about it. Actually, Wikipedia's article is not even close to as good as Wikipedia usually is. Go to medievalist.net. Go watch the Lord Chief Justice Gresham talking about this at Gresham College in YouTube. There's a fantastic video about it. Go and do your research. It is amazing the life that William Marshall had. And I still haven't gotten to the best part. Okay? Here comes the best part. So King John takes over because Richard Lionheart tragically dies too early. But hey, at least it gave Kate Bush something amazing to sing about in her second album. So King John takes over. He's not too popular. Guess what? He's not even too popular with William Marshall. William's like, you kind of suck, but I can't say that because, you know, I'm a noble now. I'm married. I've got these 10 kids. I'm in the system. And Isabel's beautiful. And I really don't want you to execute her or any of my kids. So I gotta, you know, kind of support you, but the barons are revolting against you. What am I gonna do? Oh, I know. I will only step up, and in one of the greatest diplomatic feats of the millennium, I will work with the barons and somehow not lose my loyalty to the king also, and I will write the Magna Carta and get it passed. Yeah. That's right. Okay, maybe he didn't write it, although some people claim he did co-write it, but he's the first guy listed on there, and he signed it, and he negotiated it, and he diplomatized the Magna Carta, the original document that restrained the power of the government. I am pounding my table here. Why are people making movies about knights other than this guy? That is dumb. Make a movie about William Marshall. I want it, and I want popcorn. And I don't want Junior Mints in the movies for $25. I just want popcorn, and I want a movie about William Marshall. Is that too much to ask? I've had a year and a half of the pandemic. Give me a movie about William Marshall. Come on. Oh, he's the reincarnation of Gudea of Lagash. All right? He really is. And he's a Knight Templar. And he's the Dread Pirate Roberts. And he's Robin Hood. And he's Thomas Jefferson. And he's the legend Squints, with his wife, Wendy Pfeffercorn, all in one human being. How is there not a movie about him? This is insane. Oh, we're having fun here on Friday, aren't we, folks? All right, so that was 8, 9, and 10 right there, the dumbest pop culture moment of the week. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Please remember to subscribe. Please remember to find me on Twitter at the ADK Homeroom. Slide into my DMs. Let me know what you think. Take care.